Okay, I have 11 o'clock, so I think we're going to start with a prayer. Our Lord and our God, we come unto you in prayer. We thank you for this time that we can get together and we can look into your word, and we ask that your presence would be with us, even though we're not in a church right now, but at least we can get together. And we can hear from your word. And Lord, we ask that you would supply us a blessing and that we could worship you and honor you and praise you in all that we say and do. For we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I guess we'll begin. And I just want to look at some of the things that happened around Jesus' birth and afterward, just to see that a lot of that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And even before Jesus was born, there were prophecies fulfilled. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." When Joseph was espoused to Mary, that's an espousal is like a binding agreement, sometimes between the whole family, that the husband and wife would get married, and so they had this agreement, and it was typically a joyful time for both families. But then Joseph finds that Mary is pregnant with a child, and he knows that this child is not his child. Then he wants to privately divorce her, but an angel in a dream tells him that he should take his wife, and that they two should come together to be married, and that this child is of the Holy Ghost. And hearing things like that, I'm not sure how I would react in something like that. But this has never happened before. It's a hard thing to believe and even to imagine. And I don't know the things that were going through his mind, or I think all kinds of things would go through my mind doing this. But this is a prophecy. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. And then also Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, has a son when she is past age. So there's a lot of different things going on here, and it's hard to get to wrap your mind around all of these things, but here a lot of them were prophesied. And then there's this that Mary and Joseph learn they have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and that's about 70 miles, and it would take days at if you go like 14 miles a day, it would take a while to get there. And Mary is pregnant at this time, and so she's probably riding on a donkey. But even that is not something that is very comfortable. And to do it for a long time each day, it's something that would take a lot out of you. I think, at least I think it would. And then when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and an angel announced to the shepherds in the field on that night, we read in Luke 2:8-12, "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, an angel announced to the shepherds in the field, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. So we see that the shepherds were told by an angel that where they could find this child that is born there. And so we see there's a lot of things happening and going on, we can't know all of the details of everything, but we can see that a lot is happening, and we wonder how people thought of these things and how everything is happening. And then Mary and Joseph go into the temple, and there was then one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. This is in Luke 2, the tribe of Aser, and she was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years before from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, and departed not from the temple, but was serving in the temple with God, fasting and prayers night and day. And she came in that instance and gave thanks unto the Lord and spake to him, they're looking for redemption in Jerusalem. And so we see this, we don't know how she knew that this was Jesus, but it's something that we see another sign that Christ or the Messiah is come, and she recognized this and spoke about that. Then in Matthew 2, 1 through 50, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and he comes and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art now not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again, that I will come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So, and this is where wise men come and seek. They saw a star, and they took that as a sign that a king is born. And they follow that star, and they come unto to Jerusalem, and they talked to Herod the king, and he didn't know anything about this, but and he was afraid that a king was born that would take his his kingdom over, and so he wanted to get rid of that king. So he tells the wise men that, well, go and, well, first he asks the priests and those who would know. They said, where is the Messiah going to be born? And they knew that the prophecy was that he would be born in Bethlehem, which was the city of David. And so he told them there, and he asked them to go and seek this king and to come back and bring word to where this king is, so that he says to worship that king, but really he wants to get rid of this other king that would be born, and he doesn't want to have that kind of competition, or doesn't want to have that happening to him, that he would lose his position. And so he asks the wise men to bring back word when they have found him, so that he can, he says, so that he could go and worship him also. But that wasn't really his intent. And then the wise men did find Jesus, and they did see him, and they brought gifts unto him. And then when they found him, that they saw in a dream also that they shouldn't go back to Herod, and they would depart to back to their own country a different way. And then when Herod saw that they didn't come back, and he said, he was there, and he wanted the children, to all the children in Bethlehem, the young children, to be killed, just so that that would take care of the problem, or he thought would take care of the problem. But then Joseph was also warned that he would take should take the young child, the Jesus, and his mother, and go into Egypt. And then he took him to Egypt, and he recognized that that dream was from God, that he should obey that, and he should go and take the child into Egypt. And he did that. He took the child out of Egypt. Then one of the prophecies about a star out of the patriarch Joseph in Numbers 24:17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. That's in Numbers 24:17. And this is said by not a Hebrew prophet, but it's said by Balaam, now Balaam was the one who we know about, that he was hired by Balak, the king of Moab, because the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, or they had come out of Egypt already, and they were getting closer to the promised land. And then in Moab, there were probably millions of people of the Israelites going through there, and Balak didn't like that they were going through his land, or he didn't know what to do. And so what he does, he hires Balaam to curse Israel, so that curse those children of Israel or those people from Egypt. And then Balaam was one that we read in the Bible. He rode on a donkey to go out and to do this, to curse the children of Israel. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord and tried to prevent him from going. And then Balaam didn't see the angel of the Lord, and he hit the donkey, and he's wondering what's going on. And the Lord tried to stop him from cursing Israel. And it ended up, well, this happened a number of times, because he never really cursed Israel, because the Lord prevented him from doing that, but he kept trying over and over again, and it looks like he was mindful of that he would get a reward if he cursed Israel, and so it looks like he tried over and over again to curse Israel. And he also, they also, when they were come to look at this crowd of people that was going through their land, they also set up altars to their god, or to their gods, and to try to have it successful that he would curse Israel, and the king wouldn't have to worry about these. But it never happened that he didn't curse Israel, and here he's saying that that he's speaking this prophecy, and that Israel will be a great nation, and that it's something that and here it was the way it describes it in the Bible. He's in like a trance, saying this prophecy, and is saying that Israel would become a great nation, and that there would be this Messiah that Israel was waiting for. And so Balaam was saying this, and it's really what God was speaking through him, even though it seems he didn't have a problem with cursing God's people, that he was ready to do that, but so he didn't realize who God really was, and that this was God's chosen people, and that they were going through to the promised land. But Balaam is really speaking this. Yeah, it's like he's in a trance, but his eyes are open, and he's speaking these words, saying what God is making him to say. And so even that he over and over again tries to curse Israel, but he never does. Okay, and then in this part I want to... And then we're going to look at this a little bit about now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men to the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. That's in Matthew 1 and 2. And typically, when we see representation of the star, it's usually something like this picture here, where there's a really bright star, and it shines down to the earth. It may not be like that, but the wise men were seeking this king that would be born because of a star. And we don't know that it would be exactly like this. And I'm just thinking it would be hard to have a star to light their way and to go by this. People have had different ideas of that it might be a comet or something that was going, and they get a direction from that. And so we're not really sure exactly what it was, because God can do anything. He can use any kind of thing to bring them on their way and to come to the land that they would need to be at. So he would do that. He could do that. And I was looking at that, what some people think that might have happened. There's also this idea that some people have, some scholars that think it was when Saturn and Jupiter are viewed from the, they can be viewed from the Earth with the naked eye, and really Jupiter is like the brightest part of the sky at most times when it can be seen. And there is a time where Jupiter can be seen, and Saturn is like following it, and then there's a time where the Jupiter is in front of Saturn, and you can only see one thing. And this happened on, according to their calculations, on April 17th, 6 BC. But it also happened in December 21st, 2020. And there you could see where Saturn and Jupiter were going through this phase. And we can see that in the orbits of the planets there, Saturn is really further away from Jupiter. And those orbits are thousands of miles apart, but from the view from the Earth, it looks like Saturn disappears because it is behind Jupiter. And we don't really know what that's happening, but it's one of the things that that could have been this happening, and they call that they call it the Great Conjunction. Of those when everything lines up like that, so that it could happen. And this is a picture of the event in 2020, where we can see that Saturn, if you look in the upper left, Saturn is the smaller star, and then Jupiter is the, it's not a star, it's really a planet, but it's an object in the night sky that we don't know. When they say star, did it mean a sun of another planet? But it could have been Jupiter, because that would be clearly seen also. And you could see this with the naked eye. And I remember seeing this and watching it in my yard to see that those two planets are moving, and then there's a point where they two come together. I didn't see the exact point where they came together, but I did see this in the sky from my yard. And this picture here is like these two planets would be at different dates, and this also gives a time that the wise men, if this was it, that the wise men could see before it happened, and would guide them along on these different dates, and would be able to go, and it's also going from the east to the west. And this is a picture from an observatory in Long Island, and it's when it happened over Manhattan. And So we can see that. And it, as the two stars come together, they're lower and lower on the horizon, and it would come to maybe to a point where, because this is another picture from a different location on Earth that of the same event, because this is from Greece, and we can see that as they come together, they're lower and lower on the horizon, and it could be that it would the point where they're low on the horizon could be the point where Jesus was born. We don't really know that this is how it actually happened, or really God can do anything to make it happen. So it's not really that important, but we see that that it could be that this is what the wise men were following, and it gives them time to go and from the east to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem, and we can look at that and see that this is something that could really happen, because it happens over and over again. There's a lot of years in between, hundreds of years between when this happens, but it could be something that that was what they called the star that led the wise men. But we don't really know that for sure, and it's not really that important. It's not really no important how God did this, or what method he used to guide the wise men to the birth of Jesus. But we can see that this might be one of the ways, and the dates of that is pretty much at the time when they think Jesus was born, and so it's possible to do that. Anyway, that's not really important to know exactly what was needed, but this is one possibility of how it could go. And we know that God is all-powerful, and he has many ways of doing this and directing people's lives and directing them to go and find out where Jesus was born. And we can see that that it could be possible that this is it, and it might not be, but again, it doesn't really matter. But what really matters is that we follow the will of God, and that we always do what the will of God is, and that we seek to do the will of God, and that's the thing that would really matter. And one of the things that is interesting is that when this happened in 2020 on December 21st, it's the day that a former president of the United States was meeting with some of his friends and buddies to try to connive a way that he had not lost an election. And that may be just coincidence, but that's interesting. And he wanted to do that by falsifying documents and say that these are the real documents of how the election went. Thankfully, it didn't work out that way, but he's still trying to do that. And the thing is not to really, these are things that may be possible, or maybe that something was done in this way. So that's not really important, but the real important thing is when we look at the birth of Jesus and how God directed everything, and God spoke to those involved, and we see that when Mary was told that she would have a child, and this child would be conceived by the Holy Ghost, she said pretty much that God's will should be done, that she would follow God and do whatever God would ask her. And even we see when Joseph had those dreams that it was God speaking to him, and he went and did what those dreams were directing him to do. And we can see that really the important thing for us is, and the takeaway that we should have is that we should be desiring to do and see the will of God. And we see how Joseph and Mary, when they were told these things, they were ready to do God's will, and they did God's will. And so I think the takeaway is that we should also have a real desire to serve God in whatever He asks us to do. And we see that in Mary, how she said basically that the Lord's will should be done in her life. And even though she is going through something that never happened before to anyone else, that she is ready to do and is saying really that thy will be done, that God's will would be done, and that he would be honored and glorified in all that in our lives also. All that we say and do should be according to the will of God, and we should desire to do the will of God, and to that should be the most important part of our lives, that we should do that. And then I just want to have in the hymn We Three Kings, it talks about the three gifts. In the second verse, it says, "Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign." And that's the gold is representing the kingship that he would have on earth. When we see he came to show us what the kingdom of God is like on this earth, that it's with being and doing God's will. So the gold represents the kingdom that he came to this earth. And then the third verse, frankincense. okay, frankincense to offer here. I incense own as a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God Most High. And here the incense is really a symbol of the deity of Christ, that he is deity, and that the frankincense is supposed to represent that. And then the other, the fourth verse, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breeds a life of gathering gloom. Sorrow, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. And the myrrh is a symbol of suffering and death. And it's that wouldn't take place when the wise men came, but it would be later on in his life that he would be the one who would die for our sins, and that he would go through this suffering and death so that our sins could be forgiven, and that we can, and when we give our lives over to the Lord, when we give our lives to Jesus, that he would be the one that would guide us, and he would be the one that we would want to serve and want to do with all our strength and all our might. So again, those other things about how that God led them with the star is not really important. Again, the important thing to remember is that we in our own lives and in our own life here on earth, to give our will over to Him and to want to do His will and to want to come unto Him and to serve Him in whatever way we can, or even if we think we can't, we can pray to Him and have Him lead us and direct us and guide us. And so I think we see that in what the kings came to bring gifts to this king that was born. And even though they came from a different country, we don't know exactly where they came from. It could have been Persia, or it could have been in the east. We aren't told exactly of that, but that's not even important. But we see that this happened, that in a different country they saw this, and they knew that this was something special that was happening, and they knew that this was something that is not ordinary. It's not an ordinary king that would be born, but some king that would really be the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for. And it's also possible that when the nation of Jews was in Babylon, that they learned of some of these things, and that these kings were aware of what God's will is through when the Israelites were in Babylon. And so I think, again, the most important point here is to be aware that God's will is what would be best for us, and we should seek out God's will in all that we say and do, and then we should do that, even if it's something that God is asking us to do, that something that we may not think that we have the talents for, but we should ask God for His direction and guidance, and ask Him to lead our lives and to give our lives completely over to Him, so that His will would be done, and that He would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. So I thank you for your time, and I would ask if someone could have a closing prayer.
Let us pray. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, the love of your mercy. Thank you, dear Lord, for letting go of your glory, but not your deity, when you came to earth, took on humanity, being fully God, became fully man, walked to the cross, to shed your blood, die, to cleanse us of our sins, and resurrected to give us life. So as in one man, Adam sinned, death came to earth, so through the one man, the Lord Jesus, forgiveness, grace, and salvation came to us, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.